Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
Good morning. I'm Melba Lara, and this is The Rundown. We have a special episode for you today, thanks to our public media partners at OPB, based in Portland, Oregon. Enhanced immigration enforcement and court battles over National Guard deployments continued this week. OPB's Politics Now podcast hosts, Lauren Dake and Dirk Vanderhart, spoke with WBEZ's Araceli Gomez-Aldana and Lucio Vasquez from the Texas Newsroom about how things are playing out in Portland, Chicago, and Texas. We'll start with an update about Portland.
Okay, first, Dirk, turning to you. A lot happened again this week in Portland. Let's just maybe set the scene for everybody. Like I mentioned, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem flew into Portland.
Right.
Governor Tina Kotek met her at the airport. The governor said the two had a very cordial conversation where she tried to impress upon Noem that federal troops were not needed, that the Portland police had this under control. That message, it did not seem to land.
No. Yeah, I mean, the secretary had what I would say is a pretty whirlwind tour of the city. She landed, she met with Kotek, as you said, then she met with, you know, Portland Mayor Keith Wilson. She met with the heads of both the Portland Police Bureau and the Oregon State Police. And in the early afternoon, as news cameras looked on, actually a lot of people looked on, she appeared on the roof of this ICE facility that has been the epicenter of protests here in Portland, has generated all this concern, to check out the scene for herself. We should note, Noem was trailed in this by a clutch of sort of conservative or right-wing influencers who were tweeting and recording her every move. They broadcast footage of her, for instance, looking down from the top of this ICE facility onto a pretty modest, I have to say, protest crowd, right? It was the middle of the day. It's frequently modest there. A guy in a chicken suit was there. I think the secretary remarked on that. But, you know, she also came not to just survey the scene, but also to make a number of demands of city officials. Basically, she was asking that police more forcefully police and regulate how close protesters can get to this ICE building and where they can stand. And I think the city has essentially declined those requests. So Noem has not looked too favorable, I would say, on these interactions. Here is what she told Fox News the night, the evening after she had been in Portland.
One of the things I've been dealing with all day here in Portland is a bunch of pansies that are elected into political office who won't make a decision to keep their citizens safe. I'm proud of our federal law enforcement officers. They're absolute rock stars in the face of this kind of opposition, and we're going to continue to get them the resources they need to get the bad guys off the streets, Jesse.
And, you know, so basically, right, it didn't go great. This is not the only thing Noem has said. I mean, in the days since, she's kept talking about how she feels like the governor or city officials say one thing to her and then immediately go say another thing. She's really even talking about right now of surging more federal officers into the city if they don't do what she wants. So that's where things stand right now.
Okay. A lot happened this week.
Yeah.
Some other things that happened include Governor Tina Kotek. She tried to order members of the Oregon National Guard troops to go home. There's roughly 200 troops stationed at Camp Rylea outside of Astoria. There's also California National Guard soldiers at Camp Withycombe in Clackamas County. The troops have not gone home. And in fact, a panel of judges said that they can remain here, but that they cannot be deployed.
Yep.
That same panel of judges also heard from a Trump administration lawyer this week who argued that the president does have authority to federalize the Guard and deploy them. And the judges seemed open to this concept. So give us kind of the deeper dive here.
Yeah, I mean, you noted up top, things are moving quick. As we speak, I think we and certainly many people around the state and country are waiting for a ruling from this three-judge panel that heard this case yesterday. They are considering, as you're saying, whether or not to basically block this lower court order that Oregon National Guard members cannot be federalized, controlled by the Trump administration, and sent into Portland. And you're right, I think anyone watching that hearing yesterday would have a hard time concluding these judges are going to uphold this temporary restraining order. This panel is made up of two Trump appointees, one judge appointed by President Bill Clinton. And I have to say that the Trump appointees showed a fair bit of hostility to the lower court ruling. They seemed to be saying they took these arguments the president is making very seriously. Those arguments are that these really mostly small Portland protests amount to, for one, a rebellion, but also the type of thing that has impeded the federal government from enforcing its own laws. So it is pretty clear, as we've said many times on the podcast at this point, that the protests have largely been small, but at least one of the judges appeared to be strongly convinced that because there was some larger protests in June, that would give the president authority here in October to bring in the National Guard. As of now, we are still waiting. I can't obviously predict what they will say, but that seemed to be the tenor of the oral arguments yesterday.
We anticipate we're going to know very soon.
We do. And if they do stay this order, I mean, the likelihood is very strong that before long, National Guard members will show up in Portland.
Okay. But so far, right now, Portland has been able to keep the troops from deploying into the city. Araceli, you are in Chicago, where it seems like state officials and city officials are equally committed to keeping troops out of the city. They had some success yesterday when a judge ruled the deployment would just basically add fuel to the fire, and therefore the judge blocked the deployment. Can you tell us what the latest in Chicago is?
Yes, I was in federal court yesterday. It kind of took longer than I expected. I was there all day. U.S. District Judge April Perry, she sided with the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago, saying that she found no substantial evidence that there was a quote of a rebellion or that a rebellion could happen in Illinois. And she said she saw no credible evidence that there's a danger for that. So we are now under the understanding that there is a block for this deployment of the National Guard here, even though we have guardsmen from the state of Texas. We are waiting to see what that means, kind of like what's going on in Oregon. Do they go home? Are they stationed in Illinois but are not deployed? Yesterday, Attorney General Kwame Raoul, he said that this was like a very important decision for the entire country, and really spoke out against the president, saying that, you know, the president doesn't have just unfettered authority to militarize the cities, and that the decision that he was looking for was granted.
In Oregon, there has been a lot of discussion about the ICE building, of course, but also the president has pointed to Antifa and events in Portland that stretch back actually several years. What reasoning has the president given for going into Chicago and Illinois?
So we've been hearing really just for months, for weeks, that the deployment of the National Guard is needed because of the status of Chicago, of there being high crime, of the immigration enforcement operations not being able to be met because of protests in Chicago. And really what we've seen on the ground, and also what the Judge Perry mentioned yesterday, was there's just two very different things that are being said from the president and then what people are seeing on the ground. So here in Illinois, we have a U.S. Immigration Processing Center in suburban Broadview, and that is not actually in the city of Chicago. So there have been protests there in the processing center, and then there's also protests that have been going on in the city from time to time. People, you know, just protesting the immigration operations that are happening in the city. But the Trump administration says that there's violence, and we've been reporting that there hasn't been violence until the federal officers came to Chicago.
Great. Not dissimilar to what's happening here. The president often calls out Portland, the city of Portland, in his media appearances. He's called the city, you know, war ravaged, and kind of likened it to World War II. What has his relationship been like to Chicago?
Chicago is also one of the targets from the Trump administration. He has said that it's one of the most dangerous cities, that there is a lot of crime happening. And actually what we found in our reporting at WBEZ is that crime is down in the city of Chicago, and it was down this summer for the first time in years. So that is something that a lot of local lawmakers kind of point to and saying, we are doing things here in Chicago and in Illinois, working with law enforcement, working with advocacy groups on the ground to make sure that you know, things are getting better for the residents of Illinois and Chicago. But of course, Trump has sent out memes declaring that, you know, troops are coming in, that he's going to come in and fix everything. So the narrative continues. For since the first Trump administration, he has been very vocal about, you know, what he feels about Illinois and Chicago. And even this week, he spoke about the governor, J.B. Pritzker, calling for his arrest and the arrest of Mayor Brandon Johnson. And we have a clip of how J.B. Pritzker responded.
If you come for my people, you come through me. So come and get me.
That's him reacting to this notion that potentially he could be arrested for not agreeing with the deployment of the National Guard. Brandon Johnson also spoke to WBEZ Sasha Ann Simons on In the Loop, and this is what he had to say about his call to be arrested.
The president is unstable. We know that. He's a double-minded man, and he is obviously very simple-minded. And it's certainly not the first time that Trump has called for a black man to be arrested. It's not the first time. Look, I have a responsibility to defend Chicago, and that's what I'm going to do.
Local lawmakers here in Illinois and the president, they just really don't see eye to eye.
It's interesting, you know, you hear the governor and mayor in Chicago. I mean, they have been in tone so much more forceful than I think what we've often heard here in Portland. Here, Governor Tina Kotek has been cordial. She's not said, come and get me, come through me, that the mayor has not accused Trump of any sort of mental unfitness, at least that I'm aware of at this point. It's also interesting to me that, you know, I've heard Trump a number of times give Chicago at least the honor of saying, this is a great city, we can bring it back. I don't think he's called Portland great. So one leg up you guys might have, at least in the Trump mindset.
Maybe he still wants people to visit Chicago because doesn't he have a Trump tower there in downtown?
He used to, at least.
He does, and it's actually a point of a lot of protests right now, as you can imagine.
I bet.
Interesting. Okay, well, something else that feels striking from at least an outsider's perspective in Illinois is the presence of other law enforcement there. So my understanding is, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, you have both Border Patrol agents and ICE agents already deployed, making arrests, making raids alongside each other. Can you give us a sense of what that looks like?
Yes, this is very strange to see on the streets of Chicago. So, for example, like I mentioned, Broadview Processing Facility, that's in the suburbs of Chicago. But in the streets downtown Chicago, we have seen an increase of ICE agents and Border Patrol. And it, you know, 2 weeks ago, they were just kind of, you know, armed with tactical gear, were walking down the streets of the city. They were making arrests, but it did seem, some people have said that it seems very performative to be out on the street like that. And then also on the Chicago River with boats and guns. And they do seem to be taking pictures of themselves. There's cameras involved. So, you know, a lot of criticism that has gone out against these types of activities. We did see a very dramatic raid in the city of Chicago. It happened in the early morning of October 1st. And this is armed federal agents in military fatigue with helicopters in the early morning, kind of just busting in and using a lot of tactical equipment to pull out men and women and children from an apartment complex. They did detain them for hours, and some U.S. citizens were among those detained, some women and children. A lot of the residents were separated and put into various vans. A lot of our representatives here in the city have called for an investigation in these types of tactics, and people are worried that these raids will continue here in Chicago.
Yeah, that's striking. I was reading about that raid, and do we have any sense of what's happened to some of the kids that were detained?
We don't. And there's a lot of people that say that they have neighbors, that they knew some of the people in residence in that apartment complex, and they don't know anything about them. They don't know where they are. A lot of U.S. citizens that live in that building did speak to the media and just talked about their accounts of what happened. And it just seemed very striking that, you know, without a warrant, people, you know, the federal agents could come in and just start questioning and taking people out of their homes. So that's one example of federal agents and officers being in the city. We've also had instances of federal agents and shootings involving federal agents. So we had one in Brighton Park, which is a mostly Latino neighborhood. A woman was shot by a U.S. Border Patrol agent. She survived, but that also is under investigation to what happened that led to the shooting. And then we had a fatal shooting from an ICE officer who stopped a man in the traffic stop. And this happened in Franklin Park, which is also a suburb of the city. And he was dropping off his kids from school. He was stopped. He tried to get away. Of course, there's body cam footage of this. And DHS had one statement about what led to the shooting. And then the body cam footage kind of contradicts that statement. But that man, he was a Mexican national, and he died.
Okay. Lucio, let's bring you into the conversation. You're based in Houston. You're covering the state where the president wants to tap hundreds of members of the Guard for deployment to all these other states. And Republican Governor Greg Abbott there has been very supportive of the president's decision to use the state's troops to deploy wherever they're wanted. I'm curious, what else has the governor said about, you know, why he is so supportive of this effort?
Yeah, you know, Governor Abbott has really leaned into this as a bit of a point of pride for him. He's called Texas National Guard members elite, essentially saying that they're better trained and better equipped than other states. He's framed the deployments almost as Texas stepping in to fill in some kind of leadership void as well. And politically speaking, he's used it to take shots at Democratic governors like Pritzker, saying blue states basically can't manage their own crises without Texas stepping in. So for Abbott, it's partly about showcasing Texas muscle, it seems, and partly about reinforcing that kind of red-blue divide.
And what have you heard about Democrats in Texas and just generally other Texans? I mean, are they also supportive of this notion of sending Texas troops into blue states?
You know, there has been some criticism from Texas Democrats, but I think the support far outweighs the criticism due to the fact that it is a Republican-led state in the legislature. On the ground, though, you're not really seeing mass protests here. If there are, pales in comparison to what you guys are seeing in your neck of the woods, probably. So I would say the reaction is fairly muted outside of maybe, you know, social media back and forth between Pritzker himself and Governor Abbott.
Do members of the National Guard in Texas often team up with members of ICE? I'm just thinking that, you know, immigration is always such a big issue in Texas. And here in Portland, it's very clear that the mission of the Portland police and the mission of the ICE agents is very different. They're both out in front of the ICE building here in Portland, but they're not necessarily working together. And so I'm just wondering, when National Guard troops deploy to Illinois, if they're more likely to work in lockstep with federal agents.
Yeah, well, in Texas, it's basically a completely different story. National Guard have definitely been embedded alongside federal agents at the border, especially under Operation Lone Star. It's essentially the Texas operation along the border. They don't have arrest powers in most cases, but they do help with surveillance and logistics and basically setting up infrastructure and stuff like that. So yes, they are definitely used working shoulder to shoulder with federal immigration agents here in Texas. When they are actually on the streets of Illinois, especially under federal orders, I think you'd expect the same kind of alignment with federal agencies, whether it be like DHS, ICE, et cetera. It probably would be a different relationship than what Portland or Oregon may have with federal agents there, just because Texas agents, you know, their relationship has already been flourishing for the most part here in Texas.
Well, and if I'm right, Lucio, I mean, what wasn't Operation Lone Star, when it was announced, considered a kind of, I don't know if groundbreaking is the word, but a step more toward that kind of effort than we'd seen before. Like, Abbott has been a little bit inventive in how he's used the National Guard anyway, and maybe this is an extension of that. That's the sense I've got. Maybe that's not correct.
No, I mean, I think you're right. You know, I mean, it's also interesting to see the overlap, right? Because there are certain instances in which the National Guard can be federalized, but for the most part, they are under control of their certain state. And when it comes to the border, that's for the most part a fairly federal effort, right? And so Operation Lone Star was really setting a precedent for Texas's involvement in a, again, purely federal situation, that being the border. So it is interesting to see, how that precedent is setting the example for, National Guard going into other states now and being federalized. I will say just the conversation between who actually controls the National Guard has been interesting as well. You know, I know that constitutionally speaking, right, we see National Guard being federalized whenever there's a quote unquote threat of rebellion. And it really does hinge on that definition of rebellion. I mean, we've seen protests, obviously, but does it veer into that definition of rebellion? I think that's the moving target that we're seeing now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the question here has very much been rebellion, but also there's a third prong of the law, maybe it's a second prong, that is, you know, we can't enforce our laws. And that has been a very much a moving target here in Portland.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Okay, let's head back to Chicago for a moment. One thing that has been very similar about Portland and Chicago is that the president has said the troops are needed to protect federal buildings because the Democrats in charge of both of these states are not protecting them. In Portland, there were protests outside the ICE building for many months. In the past couple of months, they have been described as pretty low energy. I'm wondering if there were protests outside the ICE buildings in Broadview in the suburbs of Illinois before the talk of federal troops.
Yeah, this is interesting because something I learned this week from the beginning when this Broadview facility was established, and we're talking nearly 20 years, there have been kind of these small prayer groups that would gather and stand out there and, you know, just using the First Amendment rights, doing like small daily protests from time to time. Even in October, once the Operation Midway Blitz began in the Chicago area, there was groups of people that wanted to express themselves and would show up to the Broadview facility. And it was very peaceful. There weren't a lot of people. And it really wasn't until federal agents began kind of stationing themselves at Broadview and kind of really started showing these tactics of tear gas and rubber bullets towards the protesters, that things really began to escalate and more people started coming to Broadview. We personally here at the station have had some of our photojournalists attacked by the rubber bullets, and you know, because everyone is there kind of standing around the same area, if they're gassing the protesters, they're also gassing the media that's close by. And so things have escalated. But in the city of Chicago, there is a federal building that sometimes gets some small protests or, you know, demonstrations that lead to the building and then start at the building. The courthouse, there's now a fence around the courthouse that was placed fairly recently. So there have been some instances of protests, but it really has escalated once ICE and Border Patrol have arrived.
That is also certainly been the experience here in Portland now, and also in 2020, what we saw in Portland was the protests got a lot more intense and violent once federal agents became part of the equation. And I think we're seeing that here, certainly with being a consideration that the judges are considering under the Ninth Circuit, of just whether sleepy protests will grow in size and intensity once federal troops are here.
That is certainly part of the equation. I mean, I think it's part of the equation of the whole thing. So, like, one of the central contentions of the federal government here is that Portland police have been unwilling to enforce the law. They've been unwilling to step in and really severely curtail these pretty small protests. And I think, look, I am not in the chief's office every day, right, or the mayor's office. But my guess is that there is a calculated decision here that if we go in heavy-handed and crack down on 24 people or 20 people, 30 people, and that footage goes out, suddenly we have a situation where people around Portland who might not be super energized are saying, well, that was messed up. Like, why are our police defending this terrible immigration regime? And more people show up. And so I think one of the reasons why we've seen maybe a lower police presence than some people would like is that calculation. But maybe the calculation is made for us, I mean, by the courts. If suddenly the troops are in, that tends to create its own gravity.
That was interesting yesterday during court when Judge Perry asked the Department of Justice lawyer, you know, asked if it mattered under the law, if Trump claimed that the inability to execute this federal law was by its own provocation, for example, because of the federal agents being, you know, antagonizing the protesters and leading to more violence. They asked him if, you know, does that matter on, you know, and he basically said, no, it doesn't matter who's antagonizing. The fact that there is more violence is an example of why these National Guard deployments are needed. So I thought that was pretty interesting, because what we're really asking is, so even if these federal agents are starting to antagonize and starting the violence, still National Guard is needed to be able to control what's happening and be able to execute immigration law. Interesting.
That is interesting. Okay. So this is a political show. Any parting thoughts on this moment in time and the politics of it all?
I mean, I can jump in. I think what I'm really interested in is, look, again, we don't know how this appeals court is going to rule, right? But let's assume that they rule that the National Guard can come into Portland. Then we enter in a new phase of this. You know, Governor Tina Kotek here, Attorney General Dan Rayfield have been oppositional so far in a legal capacity, right? We're suing. We're holding press conferences. Suddenly we have the Guard on the street, and I think that takes us into a different zone. Remember in 2020 when Governor Kate Brown needed to negotiate with the vice president and the Trump administration to get some of these border patrol officers out of the streets of Portland. That might be the politics we're seeing, where we get more and more sort of negotiation. How are we going to get the National Guard out of here? What does the state have to do to convince Trump that's the right move? That's what I'm looking for, assuming that we get the ruling that it seems we might.
Yeah, for me, I'm really just kind of watching closely how other sanctuary cities are operating. Illinois is a sanctuary state, a welcoming state, the city of Chicago also. And I'm, you know, we are very used to local enforcement not coordinating with federal agents on immigration operations. And of course, this is an example of those things kind of going head to head and how it potentially could differ if the National Guard is deployed, if these immigration operations continue in the city. How is the community going to react? How are local law enforcement officers going to react and local lawmakers? Very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, you know, here in Texas, we're no stranger to National Guard being deployed in the state itself, right? You know, I guess just speaking candidly, as a breaking news reporter, it's a little tiring, right? I mean, I think there's a meme out there. It's like, I'm tired of being living during historical times or something like that. Like,
I posted that.
Yeah. I can imagine that we're all pretty exhausted. A precedent after precedent after precedent being set. Now we're seeing National Guard from Texas being sent elsewhere. I'm very curious to see what happens. Again, same thing you guys are checking, just to check those court rulings and to see if there are any other states that are potentially going to be seeing some Texas, some troops soon.
Araceli and Lucio, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate this conversation. We hope you can get some sleep soon. Hopefully. And yeah, just thanks for trying out this experiment with us. This week's episode of OPB Politics Now was produced by Andrew Thien. Our audio engineer is Nalene Silva. Our music comes from Audio Network. Thank you to our friends in Chicago and Houston for coming on the show. We will be back next week with more news from across the Pacific Northwest. Until then, thank you for your support and thank you for listening. Thank you.